Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a fine guest co-host with me this entire show. His name's Matt Rothschild. He hosts Wisconsin Forward, a podcast you can find at civicmedia.us and anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Matt and I are both extremely happy to have joining us the Democratic ranking member on the state's Joint Finance Committee. That is the committee that is tasked with the massive undertaking of preparing a biennial state budget. In case you don't spend all of your waking hours living and breathing, reading and thinking about these things, yes, we in the state of Wisconsin have a biennial budget. So it lasts for 2 years so that folks like Senator Johnson don't have to go through this rigmarole every year, though I'm sure we could have a good discussion about how that might be better to bring more light to some of the things that go on and into our budgeting process. Before I invite the senator on, I want to share with you all the word to win this hour for Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win statewide contest. The word to win, you need to text this in via the app. Don't text me via the normal thing where you type in the foot. No, don't do that. Go get the app from wherever you get the apps from for free, and then use the app and text in the following word. You're going to qualify to win today: $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets on the club level. We got grand prizes that we'll give away. At the end, this one text will enter you to win the hourly prize for this hour as well as that grand prize. Here's the word: heat, as in bring us some damn heat. It's June already. Heat. H-E-A-T. We need some heat for our 90 days of the world's fastest summer here in Wisconsin. Bring the heat, text that word in, and be entered to win. With all of that business now done, Senator Johnson, it is a real pleasure to have you with us. How are you this fine afternoon?
I am doing well, and thank you for having me.
It is my privilege and pleasure. Let's start with this. Where are we in the biennial process? Where does the JFC's, the Joint Finance Committee's, work stand? What needs to happen next? What should people be looking for? Where are we at?
So about 2 weeks ago, we had something called Motion 4, which was designed to remove 600 items from the state's budget that was proposed by Governor Tony Evers. After those items were removed, then we passed something called Motion 5, which takes the budget back to base. So that means that my Republican colleagues have went back to where the original budget left off, and they're going to build the budget back slowly and include some items that were removed, and then maybe not include some of those items. Some of the items that were removed were some popular items. For example, child care counts, $480 million to address stabilizing the childcare industry. That was one of the things that was removed. The expansion of Medicaid, that was another item that was removed. We also removed $300 million for safe drinking water infrastructure, which included lead pipes. So there were a number of things that we heard from our listening sessions across the state that some of the constituents felt were very important and wanted to see kept in the budget.
If you can, and I know you use the word we, but I want to be sure that people understand when you used the word we with respect to removing the $300 million to help ensure safe drinking water, specifically lead pipe remediation and related, you weren't talking about you, Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson. You were talking about the GOP-led and controlled Joint Finance Committee. That's the thems that removed that from the governor's proposed budget. It happened in a committee where you hold a seat and are the ranking member, but do not hold a voting majority. I want to make sure I got all that right, because I don't want people calling up and being like, Senator Johnson, why did you remove the clean drinking water funding? That wasn't you. That was Republicans.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that, bang it, and that's it. That right there. When you've been doing all of these listening sessions as a Joint Finance Committee, Democrats and Republicans, all the folks on that committee, listening to what people have been expressing concerns about, what would you say, Senator Johnson, are the top three things that you've been hearing that cross the quote, which urban rural divide, which I just think is a made up thing for people to think we have less in common with our neighbors up north than all of the things that we do. We all care and worry about the same stuff. So regardless of where you were in the state, what do you think the top three things are that folks are concerned about?
The top three things, number one, was special education funding, wanting to make sure that those kiddos that have special needs get the type of education that they deserve and that schools don't have to pull that money from their general fund to make up the cost. One of the other things that we heard a lot about was Medicaid expansion, mm-hmm. making sure that people are, you know, provided with the type of medical coverage that they need. You know, my Republican colleagues often argue, well, they can go to the marketplace, but that's really expensive, especially for a lot of our families that just can't afford that. The other thing that we heard about was childcare counts, stabilizing the childcare industries. We heard a lot about that from even employers because they understand that if their employees don't have adequate childcare, they can't go to work. And right now we are seeing a worker shortage. So them trying to make sure that everything is in place to get as many people in the workforce as possible. So those were three of the top things that we heard about in those listening sessions.
Senator Johnson, Matt Rothschild here. Joint finance is kind of a confusing name. It's joint because it's the state Senate and the state assembly. It's not joint because there's an equal number of Democrats and Republicans on the committee. What is the split on the committee?
So the committee is made up of 16 members, 12 Republicans and 4 Democrats. So we all know where the Democrats fall when it comes to decision making on the Joint Finance Committee because there just aren't enough of us. There's only 4 to 12. So the vast majority of the decisions that are being made by the majority party, and that's the Republican Party.
And so they have the power just to ram it through if they want, right?
Yes, they do. And in most cases, they do that too.
So when it comes to special education funding, which every parent that has a child that has any special need that has an IEP, I can understand feeling, frankly, afraid looking at the federal government and the across-the-board layoffs from the Department of Education, the promise to dismantle the department, which would make the various mechanisms by which critical federal funding reach our public schools more complicated, not less. Less efficient, not more efficient. And it would make it more likely that kids that have these special needs in rural communities and urban communities, regardless of background, that it would be on balance, if Donald Trump has his way with the federal Department of Education, under grave threat, whether it's not going to be any easier for kids that have special needs to get the services that they want. Given that the Republican Party controls the Joint Finance Committee, the same concerns come up when we talk about Medicaid expansion here to take advantage of what would be massive billions of dollars in savings for state taxpayers to ensure more Wisconsinites. And frankly, when we look at childcare as well, these things are only going to be made worse by the big, brutal bill that is going forward in Washington right now. What were your Republican colleagues saying to these very real concerns of Wisconsinites across party lines, across demographics in these listening sessions? Are they proposing, are they trying to address, okay, well, we're going to have Medicaid cuts, so we got to make sure that, are they talking about what's happening on Earth One at all, or is it just kind of tone deaf?
And that's what makes it so scary is because they're not talking about it. We've heard from parents with kids with special needs, especially children with autism who have to rely very heavily on Medicaid. And to have a child that has severe special needs, like, you know, cerebral palsy, and a lot of those children qualifying for Medicaid under Katie Beckett, right? Mm-hmm. Those parents were basically begging at those listening sessions that some of their children have prescriptions that run $4,000 a month. No family can afford that. But to not know exactly that your child is going to be covered. That uncertainty is what fuels the fear in so many families. And it's cruel, right? It's not the process that these things were taken out of the budget. It's the process that nobody's saying what the replacement will be. There's no guarantee that the funding is going to be available, or, you know, the families that are going to be cut because of the cuts to Medicaid won't be some of those children. And, you know, as a parent myself, to not know if, you know, my child has diabetes, if they're going to be able to afford their insulin, it's unfair. It's unfair to the working families who go to work every day, and some of them are just barely able to afford paying for their health insurance, and then their deductibles rise. You know, capping insulin at $35 an hour is, I mean, sorry, not $35 an hour, but at $35 is huge.
Yeah.
For people who depend on that for their diabetes care. You know, we hear about that often. And to not have anything concrete in place, and especially a plan that you're willing to discuss with the public, raises uncertainty all across the board.
Senator, the callousness and cruelty that you're speaking about is appalling, but so too is the lack of respect for democracy. These listening sessions, they just turn into a charade for some of these Republicans because they're not listening to people. They don't care who testifies. Overwhelming numbers of people testified to increase public education, to give us that special ed funding, to take care of child care, because one third of child care providers are going to go out of business if they don't get that money. And yet they could have had 100 listening sessions and wanted to change their minds. That's an outrage. It's just making a joke of the idea of a listening session, isn't it?
It is. And to hear the number of schools that came in to talk about how the funding is inadequate, but then those same municipalities are going to referendums. Now, the lucky ones who have the referendums pass, they can continue to go on. But the ones who have had the referendums fail, they're looking at larger class sizes. They're looking at layoffs. They're looking at doing whatever's necessary in order to keep those costs down. And we know that the cost continues to rise. And for so many of these municipalities, for everybody, let's just be real, you're already paying for your schools when you pay your taxes. But then to have to go to referendum and say that we're willing to pay more just so that our schools can have what they need, it's unfair. Especially in those communities where, you know, property values are not significant. For example, I represent the Tale of Two Cities. I represent one of the poorest zip codes in the city of Milwaukee, where the resale median value of a home in the 53206 zip code prior to COVID was $4,300. But I also represent 53203, which is one of the most expensive zip codes in the city of Milwaukee, where your Wisconsin Center District is, your Pfizer Forum.
I've got to hop in. We got to take a very quick break. Word of the hour for the Scotty Text to Win is Heat, H-E-A-T. And she is bringing the heat. It is Senator LaTanya Jackson and Matt Rothschild. We'll be back on the other side talking more budget.